is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
A time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part.
3 minutes, Mark.
And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, by all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the change to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well, now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio! We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others will take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
You all about to get on this record.
The world is getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces on the big puzzle.
And now, your host, Barry Prince.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you kids and grannies, and you cats and gators, to this Sunday afternoon edition of the Big Puzzle. My name's Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia. I'm broadcasting through Revolution Radio, and I am in Studio B. Thanks for joining us today, folks, and allowing us to share a few thoughts with you. Revolution Radio, folks, is 100% viewer-supported. There's great content on this station. I've been surfing around over the last couple months and listening to some of the other hosts. If you like what they're doing, maybe reach into your pocket and throw them even a cup of coffee once a month. The people behind the scenes here would much appreciate any help that you could offer. It's always a pleasure to be joined by Mark Friesen. I haven't had Mark on my show now. I was just looking at the archives today, and it's been about 15 months since I've actually had a chance to talk to Mark on the air. Probably most of that's because I was away a good part of the last summer, but he's been gracious enough to give me an hour of his time today. Mark is absolute incredible freedom fighter in Canada, spends his days relentlessly fighting the incredible corruption we see in Canada right now. Mark, it's a pleasure to have you back, and I'm going to start off with your pet peeve of the week, and then I know you want to get right into a declaration that you're working on. Well, welcome back, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, Barry. Good to speak with you again. It's been too long. So
yeah, so let's start up with pet peeve of the week. Yeah, let's do that one first, Mark. I always like to start my shows with that.
Well,
I've got about 100 of them.
My pet peeve is the black pill. I struggle with people who tend to, I don't know if they're agents, I don't know if they're working for the state, I don't know, you know, who they are, but they seem to infect social media where their perception is it's all lost, there's nothing we can do, lay down and lick your nuts like a good house dog and forget about it. Those people drive me crazy. And that's not to suggest that I don't understand some people that have swallowed the black pill. I have one rolling around in my mouth. I just refuse to swallow it. If I swallowed it, I'd probably be living in a cabin in the woods in northern Saskatchewan at this point. But I can't do that because we have a lot of work to do. And I hope to save this country from its imminent demise. And I think we have a way to do that.
We're going to talk about that in a few minutes here, Mark. I know that you've been working on a declaration that got you pretty excited. I know there's some other really cool people involved in this. I'm going to let you talk about that in a second, but I agree with you. At this point in my life, we can't shut up because we know that the consequences of shutting up right now, I mean, an absolute world that I wouldn't wish for anybody in the near future. So I know that you're doing everything that you can. I'm doing whatever I can in my little way to try and wake people up to the imminent danger that we're in. If we could just get the ear of the mainstream media for 24 hours in this country, Mark, we could turn a lot of this around. Yeah. But, of course, the biggest enemy we have in this country is CBC.
Right. Yeah, and most of the mainstream media. That is an enormous challenge for us. But, you know, Barry, and I've said this before on your show, and I'll say it again, it's happening, and there is an awakening that we are in the process of. You know, I just did a town hall last night in a community 20 minutes north of Saskatoon, and it was jam-packed. And every town hall that we do is jam-packed because people, especially rural folks, you know, they seem to understand the situation we're in better than the urbanites because right. They understand, you know, their way of life is under attack, and you know the values that they cherish, self-reliance, self-determination, independence, and community is definitely under attack, and they recognize that and they see that. And so, you know, I always say it's going to be the rural folks throughout this country that pull us out of this mess. It's not going to be the urbanites, because the urbanites are still way too comfortable. That's going to end too. Yep. But
yep, they are very, very in their little world and think nothing is wrong in Canada. And they go to work every day. They can go to the grocery store. They can still get a bit of groceries. They hit the light switch and there's still power there. But all of a sudden, that's going to change. And those urbanites are actually going to lose their minds, Mark, whereas opposed to people that are living in the country and understand how to live off the land even a little bit will fare well.
100%.
As opposed to these people that live in big cities, but they're going to be susceptible to anything the government says going forward. Once that fear is released in them and their brains start to scream, you know, and I know that those urbanites will do anything the government tells them to do, where as people living in the country, they seem to be getting a lot more than the city slickers. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm actually, it's funny because whenever I go to the grocery store and as we speak, I'm sitting in the Costco parking lot and I look at people. And you know, I look to see, well, I wonder if they're awake. Nope, they're not. They're not awake. They're not awake. You know, because they're city dwellers, and they don't want to be woken up. They don't want Mark Friesen to come in and smash the bubble that they're living in, because they would have to face what the rest of us are facing, and they don't want to do that. And so, unfortunately for them, their bubble is going to burst due to reality of the situation at some point. And when that point is, I can't tell you, but I think it's coming. And so when that bubble finally bursts, they're going to be looking for answers. And we have to be there to give them the answers and to let them know, you know, why they can't afford to pay their mortgage or pay their rent or put food on the table or whatever. And that's starting to happen. We're starting to see more and more people wake up just because of cost of living and inflation has gone up. It's just, you know, you have to connect the dots for people and let them know why. Why is cost of living going through the roof? Why is everything more expensive? And it's all relative to the globalist agenda, Agenda 2030, of course. And so we have to connect those dots for people.
Well, you know what? If you sat down and just looked at what Trudeau has done to this country since he's taken power 8 years ago, Mark, and put it on a piece of paper, right. You know, I find with Canadians, one of the biggest problems I have is they have a very, very short memory. All these criminal acts that have been perpetrated on us by our government. It seems to go in one ear. They hear about it. It's on the news for a couple of days. Of course, the news drops it and it's forgotten about. So, what I actually did here a little while ago is I made up a list of all the criminalities that Trudeau's, perpetrated and I put it in short form on a piece of paper and I ran around and handed it to people. And you can see their eyes, they're looking at it and they're going, well, you know, they forgot about all this. But if you put it all into context, what we're dealing with here, Mark, is the most dangerous, most narcissistic, evil, lying piece of shit that Canada's ever had to deal with. But he's just doing what he's 100%. Been told to do. And you're right. People are starting to wake up, Mark, but I keep saying to myself, like, we need to see an acceleration in that wake up. And some days I ask myself why we're not seeing that acceleration in wake up, because it's so obvious. It's right in front of your eyes right now what this government's doing. They're not hiding it anymore. And all you really have to do is look into Trudeau a little bit and you come up with the same conclusion that you and me have. Go ahead, Mark.
Absolutely. No, it's interesting because you bring up Trudeau and so many people are focused on Trudeau, and I get it. And this whole idea that if they replace Trudeau with Bolivar, it's going to somehow fix the situation. And people need to understand why they hate Trudeau so much. Because, you know, a month before Trudeau was elected is when Harper signed and committed our country once again to Agenda 2030, the new incarnation of Agenda 21. And so 4 days after being elected, Trudeau referred to our country as the first post-national state in a country with no core identity. And he wasn't telling Canadians this. He was ultimately telling his handlers at the UN and World Economic Forum that we are on board and we will implement what Stephen Harper just committed us to. And if you look at everything that they've done, as far as implementing bills, OICs, orders in council, and bureaucratic policy, everything they have done since the day he was elected is in compliance with Agenda 2030, all of it. And that's why everybody is so angry with Trudeau and why our world is upside down, inside out, and backwards. And the media, of course, helps with that. So that's, people need to recognize that this is why we hate him so much.
Well, Trudeau's just a talkie head. You know that, and I know it, Mark. If you replace him, they're just going to have another talking head in here. The only thing about Trudeau, he was groomed all his life for the position he's in right now. He didn't go to drama school because he wanted to be a drama teacher. He was taught how to talk to people. You listen to the guy talk, and I have, quite honest, Mark, I have a hard time listening to him talk, but I got to listen to what the enemy's saying, so I force myself to listen to him talk. I do. I almost feel violently ill in my stomach when that man opens his mouth, because you know everything that's coming out of his mouth is a lie. He's sure a smooth talker, and I can see how people are manipulated by that guy, but you're right. A lot of people now are really starting to pay attention. I just said a few minutes ago, I wish I could see a little bit faster acceleration in the wake-up, but we are seeing people now engaging in conversations that normally 3 or 4 years ago they wouldn't engage in conversations about. So we are making progress, but boy, are we up against a wall right now. We have got some big problems in this country. I'm going to stay positive. I'm going to stay positive, Mark. We're going to win this, but I think it's going to take a lot of Canadians starting to roll up their sleeves to make it happen. Go ahead, my friend.
100%. Yeah. No, 100%. And I'm confident in the spirit of humanity. I think once there's enough push and enough that they've progressed enough in this agenda, at some point there will be a tipping point where we achieve critical mass. and the majority of Canadians are going to be affected and negatively affected, and they're going to wake up, and that's when, you know, we'll have the power. Obviously, you know, we're trying to affect that change and get the information out there as best we can. And as I said, it's working. There's a lot of people throughout rural Saskatchewan, rural Alberta, rural Manitoba, and across the country that are thirsty and hungry for the truth. And, you know, I have no problem giving them the truth. And because we need to be able to recognize the enemy. We need to be able to understand who our enemy is and identify that, obviously, Agenda 2030. And when we do, then we can defeat the enemy. Then we can put together a plan that defeats the enemy. And I think ultimately at some point, you know, like I said, I don't know when that is. I don't have a crystal ball. But there will be a tipping point when humanity says enough's enough. Humanity doesn't want to be dictated to by an unelected, unaccountable foreign entity such as the UN or World Economic Forum. That's not in our DNA. So at some point, when people are affected enough that they're hurting, there's going to be some massive pushback.
I think that time is coming pretty quick, Mark, because like I said, people are starting to pay attention. But unfortunately, we still have a lot of the people that are still asleep. Those, are, you know, sometimes I wonder if I should even waste my energy trying to reach the ones that are still asleep. Because at this point, if they, right. they're not waking up, then probably they're never going to wake up. They'll continue to live in their little matrix. Mm-hmm. But at this point, I don't think we have more than a couple, 3 years to put a stop to this insanity. But I see right. an acceleration right. and a waking and. I'm going to stay positive some days. I'll be quite honest with you, Mark. Some days I wake up and I go, I get that negative feeling. It only hangs with me for a few minutes because I know I can't dwell on the fact that it seems like we're banging our heads against the walls a lot of days, but we're not getting anywhere, but we are. And it only stays for a couple of minutes and it goes away, my friends, because I know I can't stop. There's no stopping. Yeah.
No, absolutely. No, 100%.
Wow, I completely lost you, Mark.
Oh, I'm here.
Yeah, no, we're getting a really bad result. Maybe it's on my end. I'll be quite honest, the last three or four shows I've done, I've had a really hard time with the communications. They seem to be interfering with my ability to hear my guest talk. But go ahead. I'll try and catch it.
Yeah, no. So one of the things that's got me hopeful and got me excited and sort of reinvigorated me is this declaration. Myself and Salim Mansour have been talking about, you know, the last 3 years and up to and including the convoy last year and how our, you know, our rights and freedoms that I consider to be inalienable, I don't need some government piece of paper telling me what my rights are, and I've sort of been of that frame of mind my whole life. But what we've seen in the last 3 years is the trampling of our rights and freedoms as they exist in the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. And the reason why that is it goes back to 1867 when the British Parliament gave us our BNA Act and essentially our constitution. It was handed to us by the British system. And that British system ensures that the sovereignty and supremacy is in Parliament and not with the people.
Right.
And so for 150 plus years, you know, we've been under this facade that we had rights and freedoms. Even the Bill of Rights is a statute that can be repealed at any time at whatever whim the government decides. And our Charter of Rights and Freedoms due to Section 1 and Section 33 can be nullified at whatever whim the government decides it needs to do that over. And we've had that on two occasions, both Trudeau's that did that in 1970 with the FLQ crisis, and then under the War Measures Act, and then the Emergencies Act with the convoy. And so, you know, it's at any whim that they decide all of a sudden our rights aren't inalienable. And even in our Constitution, it claims that our rights are guaranteed, but they're not, obviously. And the government has proven that their sovereignty and their supreme over the people. And so one of the things that this declaration is declaring by a guy by the name of Brenton Froelich, who wrote this declaration, and one of the things that it declares is that we have God-given inalienable rights, and we don't have a constitution that even mentions the people. We have an act that's handed to us by the British system that puts the sovereignty and supremacy into Parliament and makes no mention of the people. So one of the first steps in all of what we want to do and what we want to achieve with this amending formula is to amend the preamble where it says it recognizes the supremacy of God and the rule of law, and then add seven words, and those seven words are derived by the will of the people. And then repeal Section 1 and repeal Section 33 to ensure that our rights are, in fact, inalienable. And they can't, the government, on any whim that they decide, can't abridge or limit any of those rights. They're inalienable, God-given rights. And so that's what the last 3 years has done a really good job of showing us exactly, you know, what's wrong with the system that we've been living under for 150 plus years and actually create a constitution. And I think this moves us, you know, once we establish those three things, once the constitution is amended to reflect the will of the people, then we can get into making amendments to an existing constitution that ensures our inalienable God-given rights and even pulls us out from under the crown and actually create an independent, once and for all, an independent Canada without any hyphenations and make a constitution about we the people. So that's, you know, that's where we're moving towards. There is a mechanism to do this. It's called the amending formula. And within that amending formula, we need seven provinces at 50% support. And we think we can do that. We think we can get there. It's going to take some work. It's going to take a lot of education and a process, but we think we can get there. And again, the first steps is to change the preamble to reflect the will of the people and then repeal Section 1 and Section 33. Those are really the first steps. And then, you know, and then it opens up much more opportunity for the people, you know, to create delegations across every province of this country and bring people together to, who knows, maybe even write a new constitution. And this, again, has to be driven by the provinces. And so we've been saying for a while now that it'll be the provinces that pull us out of this mess. And even in terms of globalism, you know, once we get into this and once there's a constitution that represents the will of the people, then all of a sudden the people have the power and we can start dictating to these people what we want from them. And if we can bring, you know, like I said, seven provinces at 50% support, that's an enormously unifying situation. And, you know, I can't seem to find too many people that don't want or wouldn't want inalienable rights and to have a constitution that reflects the will of the people. So I'm pretty excited with it. I'm pretty stoked. And we're, like I said, we're the Buffalo Party of Saskatchewan is adopting this declaration. We're going to put it forward at our AGM April 1st and 2nd here in Saskatchewan. And obviously, we're hoping our members will approve it. We think they will unanimously. And the Independence Party of Alberta, under Archer Pulowski, his party is going to adopt it and put it forward at their AGM, which is also April 1st and 2nd. And I've been in discussion with other alternative provincial parties like Keystone Manitoba and the Populist Party of Ontario and the Conservative Party of British Columbia. And so we're really hoping that, a lot of these alternative parties pick up this declaration and start promoting it as an option and as really as a solution to a lot of the problems we're in this country.
Boy, if we saw all the conservative movements in Canada unify behind this declaration, it would be an incredibly strong group of people coming forward. Probably have a real incredible ripple down effect in society. We're all looking for answers 100%. Right now, Mark. I know I get asked that question every day, you know, what can we do? What can we do? What can we do? Well, you're talking about a very viable solution right now. So what's your next step? How are you going to present this to the... Go ahead.
So the beauty of this declaration, and I encourage every single one of your followers or viewers to have a look at this declaration. There's a Facebook group that was created called the True North Declaration. I have it posted up on my website, ffcs.info, under the Buffalo Freedom tab. And the Buffalo Party has put it on their website. I encourage people to read this declaration. When I read it the first time, I got teary-eyed and choked up because it's that powerful, and it deals with everything that we've gone through just in the last 3 years, but even in a bigger sense, what we've been living under for 150 plus years. So I encourage people to check that out and to read the declaration and to get behind it and to share it with their friends and their coworkers and their neighbors and their family and see what people think and see if you can inspire people with this declaration, because it's a very powerful document. As I said, first time I read it, I got choked up. And then the next morning I was at breakfast with a number of people and I asked them if I could read this declaration to them. And I did. And about halfway through again, I got choked up again. And then I looked around and everybody at the table was choked up. So it's a pretty powerful document. And it really, what's that?
I said, pass the Kleenex.
Yeah, exactly. So I encourage everybody to read it. And that's really, you know, ultimately that's the first steps are getting it sort of approved at a party level so we can carry that declaration and we can promote it as our policy, and other provincial parties need to do this as well. And then at some point, these whether it's the Buffalo Party getting elected in Saskatchewan as the government, or the Buffalo Party putting enough pressure with the people's support to force, say, the Sask Party to put forward a referendum on this declaration on amending the Constitution to reflect the will of the people. So it doesn't have to necessarily be the Buffalo Party. As long as we can get enough people support, and we think we will in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan's this neat little province in Canada where we're still, you know, more than 50% rural to urban. And it, our urban centers are Saskatoon and Regina. The rest of them are essentially rural. And that's where, you know, the meat and the potatoes are. And these are the people that I think are going to be excited by this declaration. And once we get that support from the people, then, you know, we go to the government and I, you know, hopefully in the next couple of years, whenever the election is, we get the Buffalo Party get some seats in the ledge and we can start pushing this declaration and educating enough people to get enough support from the people to force the government to hold a referendum and show that we have this 50% more support for amending the Constitution to put the power in the hands of the people like we've never had before. So we're going to make history April 1st and 2nd at the Buffalo Party AGM. We're going to put forward this declaration to the members. We're going to have the members vote on it. Again, we're pretty confident that the members will approve it unanimously, and then it'll become policy for the Buffalo Party. And really, this is the first time in history, Barry, that this has ever been considered, that this has ever been put forward to provincial parties to adopt as their own. And actually take advantage of the amending formula that Brian Peckford created for us when they repatriated the Constitution in 82 and created the Charter of Rights and Freedoms that isn't worth the paper it's written on until we have a Constitution that recognizes the will of the people. So, exactly. So here we are. We're making history, and I'm pretty pumped. I'm pretty excited. We spoke about it last night at the town hall that we had up in Oslo, just north of Saskatoon, and people were very excited to hear that there's an actual solution in the works to all of this, and putting the power into the hands of the people that we've never had in the history of our country, Barry.
I went to your Facebook page, and I was looking at that town hall you were in last night there, Mark, and there wasn't an empty seat in the house. They were all, you could tell their attention was totally transfixed on what you were talking about, especially when you brought up Paul Martin. Yeah. A lot of people don't really know the history of Paul Martin. You want to tell people about him just for a minute? Because it really kind of laid down the foundation for where we are right now.
I'm not sure what you're referring to in regards to Paul Martin.
Huh?
Hey, Barry?
Say it again.
I'm not sure what you mean in regards to Paul Martin.
Well, it's something. It's really interesting how his he was originally kind of the original founder of communism, or the start of communism in Canada, and a lot of people think that, you know, his is a good name, but it's not. And I was listening to him. I looked into him myself, and I found it very interesting what you were saying about him last night. But it's just a thought. If you wanted to talk about him for a minute and how that brought us to where we are today. It'd be kind of cool if you could. If not, we could go to something else I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what you're referring to, because I didn't talk about Paul Martin last night. There was another guy, another fellow that talked, but I don't remember him mentioning Paul Martin.
Okay, I'm sorry there, Mark. I got you. I was listening to that town hall last night, and I thought that was maybe somebody that looks like you. Anyways, the fact that town halls are filling up, we're seeing that more and more. I don't see the wake up in British Columbia like we do in the Prairie Provinces. Alberta seems to be really on board. What's your thoughts on Daniel Smith? What do you see there?
You know what? Very similar to Pierre Poilievre. You know, it's still the same UCP party. It's still Jason Kenney's UCP. She didn't change any of the personnel in her cabinet that were cabinet members in Jason Kenney's government. So, you know, proof's in the pudding. And that's not to say that she hasn't done a few things that I like to hear. But does that mean, you know, I'm fully committed to what Daniel Smith represents? No, by no means. I don't trust her. And ultimately, at the end of the day, Danielle Smith, when she had a radio talk show, she used to talk a fair amount about Agenda 2030 and the Sustainable Development Goals. And since she's been premier, she hasn't mentioned or uttered those words, not once. So that tells me that she's carrying water for the Conservative Party of Canada. Again, because if she was to bring it up, then the focus would be turned on who committed us to this agenda. And as we all know, it was the Conservatives that signed it in 92. It was the Conservatives who made it law and binding in this country in 2008. And it was the Conservatives under Harper that signed it again in 2015. So these provincial premiers, Scott Moe's no different in Saskatchewan, they carry water for the federal Conservatives. They don't bring it up. They don't talk about it. They feign ignorance, just like Pierre Poilievre did when I asked him the question on sustainable development. And he just feigned ignorance, didn't know anything about it. And that's what these provincial premiers do, too. So that tells me everything I need to know. If they're not willing to talk about it, and this is the thing. You know, there's another new party in Saskatchewan called Sask United. I went to their launch party. And in that series of speakers that they had, not one of them spoke about the World Economic Forum or Agenda 2030. And as people were coming out after the event was over and the speakers were done, a lot of people came up to me and rolled their eyes and said, why didn't they talk about the elephant in the room? And I said, because they're scared. Because they don't want to be referred to as a conspiracy theorist party. And so, you know, it takes courage, and you have to be able to withstand the blowback when you're telling the truth. And regardless of what the media, regardless of what the establishment want to call you, you have to stand by the truth, and you have to tell people the truth, because even in that scenario, there's a room full of people, probably, you know, somewhere between 750 and 1,000 people in that room, and they were all waiting to hear the truth, and nobody spoke the truth. They only spoke in platitudes. They only spoke in talking points. Nobody said anything of any significance. And there was a room full of people that were waiting to hear the truth. So you have to stand above all of that and give the people exactly what they want. They want the truth.
Yeah, they're sure not getting it. Well, it's just like listening to a conversation in the House of Commons. It's a joke. It's beyond a joke. It could be a comedy show on TV. Well, it's just like the House of 100%. Commons, and when they get into debates, it's a joke. It really is.
Yep. It's a farce.
It's all theater.
It's all theater. All of it is scripted. All of it is theater. It's all orchestrated. Even this, you know, when Paul Revere comes up with some talking point against Trudeau, like just inflation or whatever, that's all theater. All of it is scripted. All of this is the establishment trying to convince the masses that there's this facade of choice. Well, that's not choice. If you want choice, look to somebody who hasn't been establishment. Look to, you know, federally, the PPC. Look to an alternative in your province that isn't part of the establishment, that hasn't committed to Agenda 2030, because they all have.
So in this next federal election, Mark, are you going to get involved again?
That depends. As I've said, I've sort of refocused myself on provincial politics, because I really am starting to believe that it'll be the provinces that pull us out of this mess. And you know, I'm developing some alliances between other parties and other provinces and some people and trying to push them in the right direction. So I really think it's going to be the provinces that pull us out of this. So my focus is really been helping build the Buffalo Party in Saskatchewan and get out this declaration and educate people on our Constitution and lack thereof. And so... Right. That doesn't necessarily mean I won't run for the PPC again. I'm still the candidate for Saskatoon Grasswood for the PPC. But we'll see how things go. I just think Saskatchewan, given that our demographic is what it is, and a lot of people like to say that Alberta is the most conservative province in the country, and I disagree. I think it's Saskatchewan. Just by sheer numbers, you know, again, we have well over 50% that is rural folks, and rural is you know, where the heart is. So I just think that we have a real opportunity here in Saskatchewan to help lead the country out of this mess we're in. And it's going to be from the people. It's going to be from rural folks in Saskatchewan that do that.
Well, the provinces and also municipal. Go ahead.
Yeah, 100%. That plays a role too, and I see people are getting involved with their school trustees and running for those positions and getting involved with municipal politics. That's huge. I mean, the municipalities play a huge role in Agenda 2030 in achieving these goals, and so we need to get people into those positions to be opposition. And to educate the masses through that involvement. But like I said, in Saskatchewan, I'll give you an example, Barry. So as the convoy was rolling toward Ottawa, everybody thought it was the convoy that pressured Scott Moe in Saskatchewan to be the first to lift the mandates and restrictions. As it turns out, as that was happening, I had somebody from the inside at the SAS party call me and tell me that they were at 10% of the donations they would normally have been at that time of the year. And so what that told me is that Scott Moe's base, which is rural Saskatchewan, had enough of Scott Moe and his tyranny and basically spoke with their wallets and stopped donating to the party. And as I said, they were at 10% of what they'd normally have been at. And so, you know, the people still in Saskatchewan have the ability to wag the tail of the government dog. And so we have to take advantage of that, and we have to educate the people and let them know why this place, why everything is so upside down and crazy. And, you know, Scott Moe is just as committed to sustainable development as any other premier in this country, because he's establishment and he's sold out. And so people need to understand that. So I think we have a real opportunity provincially to do this. And I think Alberta also has an opportunity. Again, it's about getting seats into the legislature where we can start telling the truth, and we can start being, you know, exposing people to the truth and getting the documentation that if we were elected, we would be privy to, and then share that information with the people. That's what needs to happen. We need to get people elected to the ledge that have integrity and have morality and are there to represent the people. That's what we need. And the ball's rolling.
Well, there's been city councils that have been taken over by conservative people. There's a few examples we could talk about in Canada. But what happens, of course, anything that's pushed by the mayor in a global agenda is shot down by the council because they're now controlled by conservative people. And that's what really needs to happen. We need to take back our local communities. I know that's not going to happen overnight.
Yes.
I know in our last local elections here, three or four candidates that were conservative ran. Unfortunately, we didn't get anybody in, but we have got a conservative person in our school board now, somebody that's absolutely standing against SOD 123, all this gender bullcrap that's going on in our school. You know, to me, Mark, exactly. Of everything that we talk about right now, that is the thing that absolutely, my friend, drives me crazy, what they're allowing to go on with these drag queen story times. What's gone on? What's happened to my world? It's absolute insanity. And it's only a very, very small group of people that are driving this agenda, and they're getting away with it. And what they're doing to our kids, Mark, is criminal. I didn't want to change the subject, but that just drives me insane.
No, it drives me insane, too. And I've been in a battle here with City Hall. City Hall, of course, changed policy a number of years ago that allows for anybody who identifies as whatever gender that they can access the women's washroom or change room, being a full male. And so what I've been trying to do is to raise awareness with people and to inspire people to get involved, because at the end of the day, I don't care. Listen, and at the end of the day, if you're somebody that wants to pretend to be a woman and you want to wear women's clothes and you want to, you know, play that fantasy in your mind, That's your mental illness. That's your problem. I don't care. Do it on your own time. Just don't involve the kids. The problem is, Barry, is what these policies do. It allows for predators, pedophiles, rapists, to take advantage of the policy, gain access to our women and girls in a vulnerable situation, and then at some point, knock on wood, this doesn't happen, but it's going to happen where there's a girl or a woman that's being assaulted in one of these public facilities because a predator is taking advantage of the policy. And that's it. For me, that's what this is all about. And again, if you're an adult and you want to pretend to be a woman, hey, fill your boots, knock yourself out. That's your business. I don't care. Who am I to tell you not to? But that doesn't mean that I'm going to bend the knee to pander to every whim that you have. We need to say no to these people. We need to say no to mental illness instead of encouraging this mental illness. And this is all relative, Barry, to the much bigger agenda of, you know, depopulation of the planet. That's ultimately, you know, what this falls under. We look at abortion since it's been pushed, that's part of the agenda. Euthanasia is part of the agenda. This trans movement is part of the agenda. Bringing it into schools is confusing kids to the point where when they graduate, when they maybe go to university, when they get a job and they can support a family, they're not going to want to have a family, Barry, because they don't know how to identify themselves. they're very confused because our school system, our education system, is run by a bunch of communists that would like nothing more than to burn down the system that we built, and from the ashes, you know, comes utopia, where everybody's equal and everybody's the same, and they're all drones. This is what this is all about, on top of, you know, depopulation. So, you know, that's where we're at.
I'm sorry, I had somebody come to my door there, Mark. I apologize for that. My dog was going nuts. Probably a liberal.
Yeah, no problem.
Oh, hang on for a second. Well, hold on.
Yep.
Oh, I should put up a sign, do not disturb. 3 to 5 o'clock.
Okay.
Anyways, oh, my apologies. It's my daughter's coming in the door here, Mark. Just excuse me just for 2 seconds, folks.
No,
just for 2 seconds. My apologies there, folks. I just had to step out for 10 seconds there. My daughter just showed up unexpectedly. And, okay, anyways.
No problem.
Anyways, back to what we were saying there.
So, yeah, so that's, you know, yeah, and then, so that's what we're up against. And really, the antidote to all of this globalism or hyper-centralization and global governance, the antidote to all of it is local. The antidote to all of it is hyper decentralization, and the people are going to drive that. And I truly believe, you know, humanity has this sense and this this innate feeling of freedom that we as humans have. So I think we're going to drive that, and we're going to drive this. I mean, it's already happening. It's happening throughout Saskatchewan and other places where we're seeing, you know, this decentralization where people are creating their own alternative society, parallel society, if you will, where they're creating sources of health care, you know, alternative to the matrix, and they're creating communities where they know who's producing the food in this province. I know who's producing the food in this province. I know where my meat is coming from. I'm getting it direct from farmers. I'm not buying it from the grocery store anymore. I'm getting it direct. And that's the best way, because then I know exactly what I'm getting, and the matrix doesn't have that hold on me. And that's why when I sit in these grocery store parking lots, I look around and I wonder, you know, how many of these people are awake. And what if they understand what's happening in the world, and you know, now they're going to start vaccinating our animals, and in turn vaccinating us through what we eat, and so you know, these are the things that we have to be cognizant of, and we have to understand, you know, what's happening, and this control mechanism. So I think organically and naturally, people will start moving away from the matrix and into their communities. That is the antidote to all of this. And the benefit, of course, right, is when you're coming together in community, you're sharing information, you're sharing knowledge, and you're spreading that knowledge. And these communities in rural Saskatchewan and Alberta, wherever, they still have this really cool ability to spread information among their community and within their community. It's like a pipeline, and that's very different in the cities. The cities are nothing like that. We don't even talk to our neighbors, right? I mean, other than I happen to know a couple of my neighbors fairly well, so I talk to them quite a bit. But outside of that, most people, their head is down. They get into their car. They go to their job. They come home. They make supper. They put their feet up. They drink beer and watch hockey. That's it. That's what they do in the city. And rural communities are far different, and that's, you know, that's the benefit. And when people come together and they share the information, they share ideas, they share life hacks, they share, you know, alternative medicine ideas and all of these things. And I think we're moving in that direction.
Same thing in British Columbia. I mean, the big cities, I don't know how people could actually live in a big city now, Mark. I go to big cities for even a day. I go there for a day or two, and I just can't wait to get out of there. It's not a life that I
can smell the communism.
I could envision. But it's what they know, right? It's
you can smell the
paradigm they live in, and it's what they don't know. Maybe they don't know any better. Maybe they haven't spent time out in nature and really experienced what it's like to be in nature. But unfortunately, a lot of our population lives in the big cities, and they control a lot of the votes that happen in this country. Yep. Go ahead.
Yep. Yeah, and that's absolutely right, and that's why I say Saskatchewan has this unique opportunity that we can start pulling you know, us out of this mess and leading the way, because we still have that urban to rural split, and it favors rural. Alberta's tough because they got Calgary and Alberta, and there's a huge amount of population in those centers. But again, it's about getting some representation, some alternative parties into legislatures to start opposing some of this. Because, you know, as we know, most of the provincial governments, the federal government, they're all on board with this agenda. And an interesting story out of Saskatoon or out of Saskatchewan. There's a farmer by the name of Dallin Legger, who a number of years ago was going to solve a problem of grain bag recycling. And so he started his company, Ecogenics, and he was providing a service to, you know, the people, the farmers in his community, where he would drive around and pick up these grain bags and then recycle them and send them down to a processing plant in the States. One of the things he wanted to do was to create a processing plant on his property where he could do that recycling locally. And so as he was building his company, the Saskatchewan government stepped in and forbade him from operating because they had committed to a company that's called Clean Farms out of Ontario, who already they're essentially supporting the monopoly of this type of business. And so they have set up a number of depots in the province where farmers are now having to drive over 200 kilometers to get to one of these recycling depots. Well, of course, the farmers don't have time. They don't want to invest the fuel that it takes to drive 200 kilometers or 400 going both ways. So what do they end up doing? They end up burying the plastic. And so what they did is with this Dallin is they actually fined him $1 million a day for a year, and he has a fine of $365 million because he refused to stop operating because he was providing a service to the people in his community. And as it turns out, this Clean Farms organization out of Ontario that the Saskatchewan taxpayers actually pay to bring in this company is actually owned by another company that's called CropLife International. And they've made an agreement with the United Nations to do this sort of work. So now we're the taxpayers of Saskatchewan are paying this multinational NGO who's, you know, created this sub company called Clean Farms out of Ontario. And now we're committed to giving this company millions of dollars annually because they're associated with the United Nations. Meanwhile, we're cutting the throat of local farmer that had the solution ready-made, providing it to the people of his community. And a growing, you know, entrepreneur and local farmer. And so it was a really good explanation and a really good example of how all of this works. And we need to just dump them all. We need to get rid of all of these establishment globalist parties and start from scratch. And we need to motivate the people to get that done.
Yeah, it's just an example of insanity we see anywhere we look in Canada. I mean, we could talk about oil for a minute and the fact that we import 180,000 barrels of oil a day from Saudi Arabia when we have more oil in the ground than we'll ever use in the history of this country. Just another example of how the government just puts it up our butt every day of the week, Mark. It's unbelievable.
Yep.
Just another 100% example of it. We only got a couple minutes left here, my friend. So I'd like you to, in the last 2 minutes here, Mark, tell people where they can find you, your sites where you can be heard. Sure. Your last couple thoughts. I said we only got a couple minutes left here, but thanks for coming in today, my friend. Sure.
Yeah, thanks for having me again, Barry. It's good to spend some time with you. I struggle with censorship still. I'm still fighting Facebook and YouTube and whatever, but I still have a presence there. Mark Friesen on Facebook, Canada First on Facebook, Mark Friesen Saskatoon Grasswood, Mark Friesen Buffalo Party, all on Facebook. I still have my YouTube, and I have my Rumble channel, Mark Friesen Grizzly Patriot. And, of course, the website, ffcs.info, is the website. We've got a ton of information on there. Again, that's where the declaration is sitting right now, ready to be downloaded by anybody who's interested. I guess that's about it. Of course, my Twitter, Mark Friesen 08. I got just about 50,000 followers there. So,
well, I'm going to urge everybody to go download the declaration and read it, Mark. I haven't, to be quite honest, I haven't read it myself yet. I thought that it wasn't going to be out till this week, so I will make a point of reading it today or tomorrow, and I urge my audience to do the same. It has been an absolute pleasure having you in, and like I said, I hope we can do this again in the near future.
Absolutely, my friend. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Mark.
Take care.
Now.
God bless.
Hey, folks, I'm going to be back in about 4 minutes from now with Mr. Billy Joyce, who is, of course, known as the Red Pill in Canada. Billy's got some really cool stuff to talk about today, and I'm sure it will be a lively conversation. Thanks again to Mark for joining me today. He always brings good information forward. True patriot, and boy, I wish Canada had 10,000 Mark Friesens right now. I'll be back in about 3 or 4 minutes, guys.
If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind, with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people on the fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
I'll try. Any plan.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
There have been imaginative science fiction writers for generations. But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
I'm aware of some archaeologists that have uncovered large bones indicating giants in Virginia. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford. Join me every Thursday night in Studio A at 6 p.m. Eastern for Factor Theory Live. Find us on www.revolution.radio. Great guests and great stories.
What do you believe?
Join me in the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back, second hour, folks, and thanks again to Mark for joining me. Great conversation. Going to do something about my communications, though, because during that course of the hour, I was only catching every second word that Mark said, so I hope I made sense in my conversation with him, but that was kind of annoying for me on my end. I hope it's better on my Skype. I have Billy Joyce, Mr. Red Pill, gentleman I love talking to, who's gracious enough to come in for the second hour today. I haven't talked to Billy for probably about a month and a half now, Billy, since we've been on.
Has it really been that long, Barry?
Maybe not. Maybe it's only been a month.
You know, time's been flying. Well,
it's been too long anyways, Billy, because every time we get on the air, we only touch on a few of the things that we actually want to talk about, but it's always a lively conversation. I'm going to start with your pet peeve of the week, bud. What is it?
Oh, geez. Where do I start?
You on?
Where do I start?
Okay. I'll tell you
one thing.
I've got about 50 of them.
Well, the fact that from Friday, actually from Thursday to Saturday night, so a three day inquiry was held in Truro, Nova Scotia, over the weekend, and very few people knew about it. In order to attend live, you had to register and go through all kinds of loopholes. But in a nutshell, it was a law firm in Nova Scotia called McGilvery Law, who specialize in personal injury and class action lawsuits, who were doing the interviewing. And I only got a chance to watch Chris Milburn and Dr. Peter McCullough. I watched them today. They actually testified on Thursday. I was working Thursday and Friday, so there was no way for me to go up. And then Saturday, well, I just wasn't feeling well. And this inquiry is going on. So they had, as far as I can see on YouTube, there's approximately 12 hours of testimony. And there are expert witnesses in there, ranging from microbiologists to cardiologists to vaccinologists to people that have lost their jobs. For example, a lady that used to be on CBC, This Hour is 22 Minutes. I forget her name. Kathy Jones. She retired early from CBC because she didn't want to take the jabs. So she was testifying to talk about how it was one thing for her to do it, where she's well-established and probably financially stable, more stable than a lot of people that were forced out of work, and still how she was stigmatized and how people that she knows suffered with adverse effects. So all this truth is coming out about this, but at the same time that the truth is coming out about this in a very slow trickle, you have the International Criminal Court declaring that Vladimir Putin's a war criminal for illegally abducting children and taking them into Russia, when what he was actually doing was pulling children out of eastern Ukraine to avoid them being bombed by the Ukrainian government. So that's a whole other thing, but that's going on. And then you've got U.S. forces moving Navy ships into the Taiwan, into that area, because, you know, China and Russia are trying to establish their own currency with BRICS and trying to form their own little alliance that doesn't want to impose dictatorships and oligarchies on the world, even though they're portrayed that way. So, well, we got to stop them from doing that. And then they declare Putin a war criminal. And what does he do? Just to kind of, he lands in eastern Ukraine in Mariupol by helicopter and drives around saying, oh yeah, you got your arrest warrant? Come arrest me. I'm in Mariupol. And there's just so much going on. And then on top of that, you've got Chinese interference in Canada's elections. You're no longer allowed to defend yourself in Canada if someone tries to break into your home. That's you go to jail for murder if someone breaks into your home and you know, so happen to kill them. I don't know. Like, it just seems like we take one step forward, two steps back, another step forward, a couple steps back. And I don't know if we're on the brink of World War III or if it's just one giant psyop. Or what the hell is going on? But the world seems upside down.
No, oh, really?
Yeah, and it's a crime. It's a crime in Canada now to protest drag queen story hour for kids. If you protest that, you get arrested for hate crime.
Yeah, we just saw what happened in Calgary, and what an atrocity that is in our society that we've got to that point, Billy. This is absolute bullcrap. What's going on? You know, these drag queen story hours. I got to see a couple of videos of what these people actually are doing in front of our children. And I ask myself every day, what's happened to the morality in our
It's society? Grooming.
If we've fallen that far, Billy, if our society moralistically has fallen to a point where parents will take their children into a library and watch these things cohort around with very, very little clothing on, with such sexually implicit moves and expressions to these children. What do you think this is doing to those children's minds? These are our future of our country, and we're corrupting them before they're 8 or 9 years old. What's happened to the morality in our country? Where are the parents, and why are they allowing this to go on, Billy? I can't understand that aspect of this at all. I understand how these guys are doing it, very small percentage, but really, have we fallen that far as a society that we're not willing to stand up against something that's so diabolical? I have a hard time talking about it.
Well, if the vaccines actually do affect critical thinking and actually do affect a person's capacity to, because really anyone who accepted the vaccines, right, you cross the line there of morality. Like, to me, you sold out as far as I'm concerned. In a sense. So if you're willing to sell out there, well, why not just go full-blown fucking woke? Just go full-blown woke, pardon my language. But
it's okay, Billy.
You go full-blown
okay.
woke.
We have slip-ups on the station.
Yeah, you go full-blown woke, and, well, you accept everything, you know, like everything. So now, you know, boys can have babies, apparently, in some dreamland. You know, like, you know, what's the definition of a woman? Like, when society's having a hard time just answering that question, what is a woman? We have problems, like severe problems. It's like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah on steroids. Like, we'd make Sodom and Gomorrah blush.
You're absolutely right, Billy. So, you know, what happens anytime in a society, and if you study history, you'll find this out, that anytime in history a society is reaching the bottom, as far as their moralistic standings and their moralistic feelings and how they look at the world and the depth of depravity, like Sodom and Gomorrah, those societies have collapsed. Now, we could talk about the Roman Empire, Billy, and what was the number one, most supported number one activity in the Roman Empire just before the collapse of the Roman Empire? Well, it was gladiator sports. And what do we see now? What is the most popular thing on TV? history repeats itself, and it's going to repeat itself again.
Well, Barry, I noticed something very interesting last week, and it connected a whole lot of dots for me. Before my YouTube channel got erased, and I had the 24,000 subscribers, and I had put up, I don't know, roughly 150 videos, and a lot of those videos were information that I had come across over the years and were inspired by QAnon, who I felt was someone on the inside revealing a lot of these things. And one of the things he said was, symbolism will be their downfall. And I had done a full video on symbols that I had seen at the entrance of Canadian Parliament. And it was a unicorn with a crown around its neck with a chain attached to the crown. The chain was attached to the pedestal that the unicorn was standing on. And it looked like the unicorn was choking. And above it, it had the fleur-de-lis flag. And on the other side of the entrance of Parliament was the lion with the British flag above its head, with its teeth roaring, with what looked like it looked like he was in attack mode. And it didn't have a chain, and it didn't have anything around its neck, and it was free by the looks of it. So
right.
When you look at that, when you look at that symbolism, the unicorn and the lion, it's also on the Rothschild family crest. It's also used in Canadian Parliament. It's also used in the Parliament of most Canadian provinces in some way, shape, or form. It's also used by the Commonwealth. So Commonwealth nations use this coat of arms as well. And then just last week, when I saw Volodymyr Zelensky apparently giving a speech from inside the Ukrainian palace, what was on his podium? The lion and the unicorn. And what I'm getting at here is we're living in what's called what I think is the British Empire's rule, and I think the British Empire is Babylon that's mentioned in the Bible. I firmly believe that what we're seeing happen here is the coalition between Russia and China forming, and when it talks about the end days in the Bible and it talks about the I think it's a thousand thousand like soldiers crossing a dried up Euphrates, or something like 10 million was what the number is if you translate it, or 100 million soldiers crossing the Euphrates. And back then, when that prophecy was written, well, there was no 100 million soldier army that existed. And today, if you were to combine Russia and China, or if China and all its allies were to cross the Euphrates, well, they'd have the 100 million. And the Euphrates right now can be dried up with the push of a button, because they've built dams and they've built other things that could dry that up if they wanted to. And it's one of the first times, and it's actually drying up naturally as well. So it's the first time in history where the Euphrates is drying up, and the potential for that 100 million soldier military to come crossing the Euphrates to attack Babylon could very well be happening. And you look Babylon the Great and the way it falls, and it's going to be destroyed by fire, and you see some of the stuff going on in the States right now. I don't know, like they're poking the bear and they're poking the dragon, and it's only a matter of time before the bear and the dragon bite back. And as far as I'm concerned, Vladimir Putin and the Russians right now probably represent a more true and how could I say this, Orthodox Christianity than any place in North America offers. Like Putin and a lot of his officers attend Orthodox Church, you know, on a daily basis. It's not just a weekly thing for these people. They revived a church that the Roman Catholic Church and other denominations tried to destroy, because they're the ones that didn't join forces with the Romans. They're like, when Roman Catholicism was formed, there was a group that said, we're not joining paganism, because that's what the Romans were. They were pagan. So when Roman Catholicism was formed, they merged paganism with Christianity. And the Russian Orthodox and the Ethiopian, to this day, there are three or four churches that have nothing to do with Roman Catholicism or all the derivatives thereof, which include Anglican, which include all the Protestant churches. So I think we're seeing the end days play out, and I'm not sure how we all play into it. I'm not sure what our role is, but it's pretty fascinating. At the same time, it seems almost, I don't know what the word is. It seems almost like it takes away our power to do anything, because it's beyond anything we can do.
You know, I have that thought process all the time. I I study Revelations, and I consider myself a Christian. I start my day with prayer. I know that his connection in my life is real. I don't sit on the radio here and pound it out to people that, you know, you've got to do this, you got to do that. If you don't do this, you're going to hell. That's for people to find out for themselves.
Yes, yeah.
What the real truth is. But you know what, Billy? I look at biblical prophecy, and I get this argument all the time that man is manufacturing biblical prophecy, and these are the reasons, and this is why that's happening. I say bunk to that, man. We see so many events that were talked about 3,000 years ago. By people, no connection between these people spread out over the face of the earth, thousands of miles apart, but all talking about certain events that seem to be all happening right now in our earth, in our planet. We talk about digital ID. We talk about digital currency. We talk about the RFID chip, how that's being pushed, how we're going to be going into a cashless society. I don't know if we're going to be able to stop that. I don't believe at this point we're going to be able to stop it because I don't see enough people even talking about it. But all that being said, if we look at everything the Bible says about this particular time in history, the accumulation of prophecies and revelations is, to me, it's just uncanny. We're seeing multiple prophecies playing out in front of our eyes right now. And it's going to, you know, the Bible talks about this is one thing that I believe we're going to see, Billy, is an Antichrist, because the Bible talks about it. In many, many, many chapters, they talk about the Antichrist, how one man is going to have the ability to control basically the whole earth. And, you know, if you said that 100 years ago, people would laugh. But in today's age, that's a real possibility. Go ahead.
Well, Elon Musk looks like a likely candidate.
There's lots of people. Yeah, there's a few people that we could, you know, could speculate around about. But
Elon Musk
is wrote about. I believe it's going to happen.
But Elon Musk, the reason that one there, the reason that stands out is that I forget who it was, but some German scientist that first started working for NASA wrote a book, and it was a book based on the future, and it talked about a kid named Elon that was going to basically rule the universe type thing, like space travel and whatever else. And Elon was not a common name back then. Like, it wouldn't, like, you know, you would have been more suited to see, like, John Boy or Peter or, you know, like, a book written in the United States in the 1960s or 70s. Like, Elon, not a very common child's name, right? And that's the name they used. I'm trying to figure out who it was. I forget who it was, but have you ever heard of that?
Well, no, but, you know, I think about it right now. You just brought that up, Billy. I don't think I've ever met an Elon in my life.
Right.
You know,
hold on.
Growing up in school, I don't think I ever met an Elon. So, that's, like you said, that's a very, very peculiar name. And how that plays into what's going on right now, that's an interesting thought process, for sure.
Well, I looked it up right now, actually. And it's a book that appeared in 1953. Let me see. In the 1950s, German-turned-American scientist Wernher von Braun, yes, the Nazis' leading rocket man, wrote a science fiction novel called The Mars Project. It takes place in then-distant 1980 and features human colonists on Mars, whose leader uses the title Elon. I knew I didn't dream it.
Oh, you're not making this up, are you, Billy?
No, I'm not making it up.
You can't make this up.
No, like you can't make that up.
This was wrote by von Braun.
By Wernher von Braun.
Okay.
I knew it was someone of significance. There you go. And I was thinking von Braun, and I was like, no, I don't think it was him. Like, I don't think it was someone that high up. But yeah, it was him. And so right now, who's the hero on Twitter for allowing everything to come out?
Oh yeah. He's got a huge following, man.
You know, like, right, and everyone's and buying growing. Into the, everyone's growing in, you know, buying into the space travel and UFOs, and, you know, if Elon Musk built a statue of himself and declared himself God, like, if all this January 6th is turning out to be one big lie, so everyone's finding out now COVID-19 was pretty much a lie, the response to COVID-19 was pretty much a lie, the vaccines being safe and effective was a blatant lie. January 6th was not an insurrection in the least. As a matter of fact, the cops gave guided tours to the guy that's spending 41 months in jail for leading this supposed insurrection. They claim that a cop got killed by someone wielding a fire extinguisher, when actually, after they claimed he was dead, he appears on the video that was released to Tucker Carlson and only died a few days later from other causes. It's just everything's falling apart. But yet, you don't hear this stuff on mainstream media. And what you do hear is, how dare Tucker Carlson go against the narrative? Well, what are you implying that all this security footage, like all this, it's fake? Like, are you telling us that House Leader McCarthy provided fake footage? Like, okay, so where was it filmed and who manufactured it? So it's like what they do is gaslighting. They accuse the opposition of doing what they did. So they'll say, well, Tucker Carlson cherry picked the footage. Well, all he did was show us the footage that you guys cherry picked in the first place. For 3 years, they had this information. They even withheld some of this video footage from the lawyers, which is a crime. You're not allowed to do it. So I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen. But then Tucker Carlson was basically censored by Fox News the day after Chuck Schumer asked Rupert Murdoch to shut up Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson never spoke of it again on his show. And some people think it might be because those tapes are going to be released to law enforcement, and there might be charges laid against whoever was behind making up the false narratives. It's like this thing going on in Nova Scotia today, not today, but over the weekend with the COVID-19. It's called the National Citizens Inquiry. And they have a date in Toronto on March 30th, Winnipeg, April 13th, Saskatoon on April 20th, and Red Deer, Alberta on April 26th. And what happened here in Nova Scotia, it's a law firm here that specializes in personal injury and class action lawsuits. And when you look at you look at some of the lineup that they had, the people that were, I'm trying to see here.
Justify.
Some of the witnesses that they had, I'm going to look here. They don't have the list, unfortunately. Oh, no. There was Chris Milburn. He was the head of emergency services for all of eastern Nova Scotia. So this is a guy that he oversaw the emergency services in 13 hospitals. And he went on a radio show that he'd been a guest on for 10 years. And it was a radio show where sometimes controversial topics come up. And he spoke out against the official narrative of Nova Scotia Health. And within 4 days, he was uninvited from that radio show indefinitely. He was removed as the head of emergency room, chief of emergency room services. And he lost his job as surgeon. He took a job now as like a family practitioner in a small community. But they had Dr. Jordan Peterson testified. Dr. Laura Braden, she's a molecular biologist. She testified. You've heard of her?
Yeah, I have.
I'm trying to think here. Okay. Because you can go on their Facebook. They've got their own Facebook page. You can go see them there, or you can even go to what's called nationalcitizensinquiry.ca, all small case, all one word, and you'll find all kinds of information there. I'm trying to think. They had a few other doctors, Heather DeGregorio, Dr. Christine Grebe, those were the commissioners. Let me see here. Dr. Tiago Enriquez. They've got a full list here. They've got a PDF, and I can see the entire list. So Chris Milburn, cool. Peter McCullough. I'm trying to look at some other big names that they had. They had a chief, Greg Burke, from the Métis, so they're getting the First Nations involved. Dr. Laura Braden, Dr. Eris Lavranos, Dr. Dion Davidson. They had some, and when I was looking at some of the credentials for some of these people, I mean, it ranges from people who specialize in strokes to brain injury to cardiac, you know, people that know like myocarditis, other people that specialize in mRNA, vaccinologists, immunologists. I mean, the testimonies that we're giving today is being heard by lawyers. It's being heard by, like, this panel was made up of engineers, like scientists. They're people that are scientific based, and they had different reasons for being there. And then they're going to write a report, and then these law firms are going to have these reports and all these testimonies that were taken under oath. So I assume lawsuits are being built.
And the lawyers, are all sitting there, and all they can see in front of their eyes is dollar signs, man.
Yeah, well, they're doing it all pro bono right now because they're going to have these cases sitting in their hands. Like they were literally.
But you know what I'm saying, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know exactly
what you're
saying.
You're talking about billions, hundreds of billions of dollars in lawsuits coming forward.
Yeah. No, it's...
That is so necessary right now, Billy. It really is.
But if they start World War III before all this stuff can get out, well, then the narrative... Do you know what I mean? I think what we call the deep state, like I think what we call, you know, them, I think they're in such panic mode right now that they're actually willing to just burn the planet.
Or start a major war. That would be the distraction they need to get society completely back underneath its thumb, Billy.
Right.
That always works.
That's what I mean by burn the planet. Because if they do start a war, it's not going to be a pretty one.
It's not going to be pretty at all, Billy. It scares the hell out of me. Back in the old days, we used to have guns and bullets and mortars, but now we got nukes. And tell you, if they start launching those things around, there is no such thing. They talk about a limited nuclear exchange, Billy. Well, there is no such thing as a limited nuclear exchange. Loving those things. And you know what? We're all dead.
Never mind nuclear. Why not make it a slow kill and just set off electromagnetic pulses and kill all the electric grids? Imagine if they did that. Imagine, you want to go to war? Okay, well, we're going to shut down California, California and everything, I don't know, west of the Rockies, just to start, see how you feel about that.
Can you imagine what would happen to people if that actually happened, Billy? They'd lose their flipping minds. They would be so scrambled, they wouldn't have a clue what to do. And, of course, that's what they're counting on.
Russia and China, they wouldn't have to lift a finger because society would implode.
Oh, they're protected. Exactly. So they just wait for everything to fall apart over here, just walk in. There'd be nothing to stop them. No armies, no people, just visualize, no electricity. And possibly losing our grid for two or three, up to 5 or 6 years before they could replace it. So we're going back into the Stone Age overnight, man. Boy, would be a soft target for anybody that wanted to walk in here, Billy.
Well, I mean, China can send weather balloons over our territory and we can fly right over the, you know, we think it's a spy balloon. We're not going to shoot it down, though.
No.
Wait for it. No, we're not going to shoot it down yet. No, it's over one of the air bases. Leave it there for now. Okay, it's over the Atlantic. Shoot it down.
It's just normal. It's just normal, Billy.
Yeah, we can't find
every
it.
Day.
It's in the Atlantic now. Whoops. We waited too long to shoot it down. I can't get over what's going on in this. And like Trudeau can't go anywhere. How is this guy still prime minister? Like, how is this guy still running the show? It doesn't matter where he goes. He even comes to liberal land, Nova Scotia, to give away millions and millions of dollars, and still gets heckled out of town, and still gets told off. Like, he came here to announce millions of dollars for Michelin in Bridgewater. Now, Bridgewater just so happens to be one of the towns that received $5 million for a smart city awareness, and they're going to make Bridgewater a smart city. And it just so happens that that's where he goes to announce his big funding for Michelin. And still he gets booed out of, like, there were people on stage with him that were hiding their faces because
I saw that video.
You know, like, it's just...
They couldn't listen to it, man.
Right.
The one guy was hanging his head down and his head was shaking.
Right, exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Got that on TV, did we?
Yes, you know, and so how bad is it? Like, he's there announcing millions of dollars in funding and still the people hate him. So if the Liberals pull it off again, like, what does that say? Like, our election's rigged? Like, who's voting for these people? Like, who in their right mind... We go vote Liberal right now. I don't get it. And Pierre Poilievre, well, I'm sorry, but your little YouTube videos and, you know, fixing your suit and, you know, it's like the highlight of his day when he gets a chance to stand up in the House where he can ask all the questions he wants. He can insult the he gets no answers. They get no results. Like, Pierre Poilievre actually, he came out publicly and said that the people that were in Ottawa were there because of housing prices and a rise in milk costs. No, they weren't there. They were there over vaccine mandates, period. That's the reason that the whole convoy started. It was over COVID and the vaccines and the way it was all handled and the way people were getting screwed over, losing their jobs and being forced to either take it or lose everything or risk losing everything. And it was over coercion is what it was. It was over the violation of human rights. And this is all coming out now in these inquiries. And we've got actual lawyers from actual law firms listening, salivating, drooling, listening to this stuff.
Yeah. Look at the dupes we're going to have, man.
Oh, so, but again,
and boy, when the dam opens, Billy, when that dam opens and some of these lawsuits start coming out, you're going to see a deluge from across the country, because there's lots of people that are being damaged by these quack scenes, and it's not being reported. Go ahead.
Well, what they're reporting on today as well, like some of the doctors that testified today, or Dr. Milburn, I can't say some of the doctors, Dr. Milburn and Dr. McCullough, both testified to the fact that many doctors and many nurses want to speak out. They themselves have been victims of adverse effects. But because the College of Physicians and Surgeons or the College of Nurses have a particular stance on things, if they go against their official narrative, well, they get punished and lose their jobs. And so it's like you got one side doubling down. You've got these inquiries going on and possible lawsuits coming out from them. You've got city councils in places like Niagara Falls that are coming out and publicly apologizing to the people they laid off because of vaccine mandates. But then on the other hand, you've got Nova Scotia recruiting foreign nurses to come fill the void in our healthcare system, but they still haven't called back the unvaccinated nurses that they sent home for not wanting to be vaccinated. Like, to walk into a pharmacy in Nova Scotia, you still need to wear a mask to this day or you don't get served. Like, there's some...
You're about to see one of the biggest exodus of health professionals in British Columbia's history, because the government's going to try to mandate or implement Bill C-36 on the 24th. If that bill comes into effect, then you are going to be required to be double vax and up to date on all your vaccinating stats to operate in the province of British Columbia. Doctors, nurses, dentists, anybody in the healthcare or any kind of service like that in British Columbia is going to be required to double vax. If not, like I said, they're not going to be able to operate. Well, you're going to see a lot of them go into Alberta. We're already seeing it now. I'm hearing about it in Alberta. So, you know, they did that in Ontario. You know, they brought that in, I think it was in July of last year. They brought in the rule that health professionals had to be up to date on their vaccines and their boosters and blah, blah, blah. And so far, the number that I saw the other day is we've lost 102 doctors in Ontario since that was brought forward. And they're doing the same thing in British Columbia right now. Absolute draconian loss. Communism 2.0. Go ahead, Billy.
It's just scary to see where we're at, and it's scary to see how so many people are still completely asleep to it. I have to say that there are a lot of
asleep?
Well, I don't know. No, that's no. Just I don't get it. I have I to say that there are a lot of people that are on the I'm never getting another vaccine and they're never going to touch me again. But those people will not come out publicly and say, yeah, I've felt like crap since I got them. And yeah, I can't. Like, I know guys my age that were in perfectly good health that can no longer climb two flights of stairs. You know, like, I'm 300 pounds, and I could probably climb more flights of stairs than some of the people that I know that are 170 pounds, you know, with very little body fat. And it's like Dad, when Dad was having a hard time breathing and stuff, and it was quick onset. Like, he went from, you know, relatively healthy to, oh, my God, I can't walk more than 100 feet, and I can't breathe. And I remember the first day I saw him do that, and I told him, I said, it's not your lungs, it's your heart. And I said, I know why it's happening, but you don't want to hear it. And it's like, even now, I have a hard time going to visit because he's convinced that, oh, well, it was bound to happen. No, you could have avoided all of it. You know, and now it's when I hear him say, well, the doctors know best, it just drives me nuts because, like I said, Dad went from relatively healthy to needing heart surgery. And
tell that to the 18-year-old now that's got a heart of an 85-year-old man because the myocarditis is so severe that he will never function properly in society. I have lots of people that I know personally now, Billy, that have been affected by these jibby jabs. One of them's a friend of mine, and he's got severe myocarditis. The doctor told me he's got 2 to 5 years to live. Perfectly healthy man before the injections. I'm starting to hear a lot of this in society. I think we're going to get to a point here real soon where everybody's going to know somebody, whether they want to admit it or not. Everybody's going to know somebody that's been really adversely affected by these jibby jabs. Maybe that's what it's going to take. Go ahead.
Well, just, I think it was yesterday, a lady on CBS News, I think somewhere in California, the weather woman collapsed out of nowhere. She, like, they were on live television, like, just collapsed at her desk, out like a light. How many people have that happened to in the last year? I mean, I've watched television all my life, and I've never seen so many people collapse on live television or athletes collapse during games. You're talking, in some cases, like an 800 to 1,000% increase in athlete fatalities. Like the FIFA and the soccer leagues in Europe were reporting this stuff, and it's crazy some of the numbers that exist.
And it's not being reported, Billy. That's the insanity. That's the criminality behind this whole thing right now, is all these numbers you're talking about with athletes. I looked at those numbers. You're absolutely correct. It's off the charts. And tell me it's a coincidence. They all started dropping dead once they were injected. Tell me that's a coincidence. We live in a world where there's so many coincidences, Billy. It's mind-blowing. It really is. But the one that really gets me the most, and I looked this up myself, folks, and it's not bullcrap. You go look at the increase in cancer. Go to the American Cancer Society and look at the numbers. And you'll fall right off your chair, Billy. Because we've seen increases in cancer between the lowest I saw was 200% increase to up to almost 700% increase in a calendar year. So what's the common dominating factor? The jibby jabs.
Well, Barry,
those are numbers that you explain those numbers. Try to explain those numbers to me. Why we see? Well, anyways, across the board, folks, and this is something you can. I never put out bullcrap. Across the board, it's approximately 400% increase in cancer in one calendar year, Billy.
Okay, let's listen to these numbers.
It's a normal thing. Go ahead.
You want to hear some strange numbers? So Nova Scotia, we have a population of 1 million people. Okay, we're only 1 million. We're a pretty small province. So even CBC now, CBC is questioning what the hell is going on with the Nova Scotia health and what's happening in Nova Scotia. The headline from CBC Nova Scotia was, Nova Scotia tight-lipped about spike in deaths. So when I don't know if people are familiar with the idea of excess deaths. So in a province where the population is relatively stable at 1 million, they'll calculate deaths over years, or they'll tabulate to keep a track of how many people die every year. And then if there's a big variation any given year, they'll call that excess deaths, whether it's a variation upwards or downwards. Okay, so in 2020, the excess deaths in Nova Scotia were -105. Okay, so when I saw these, I was like, okay, so 2020 was the year that COVID started. Nobody was vaccinated. It was hitting the old folks' homes, and 95% of the people that were dying were 75 and older with comorbidities. And yet that year when COVID-19 hit and everyone they locked us down and stuff, and they put in measures and stuff, but still there was 105 less deaths in 2020 than was expected. 2021 rolls around. There were 120 excess, so 120 more than expected. Then they release the first 10 months of 2022.
Look out.
848. Okay, you're talking a 700% increase there.
Yep.
Okay.
Those numbers are everywhere, Billy.
Right.
Look around the world.
And out of the okay, now hold on. Out of the 800,
not exact, but you'll see out of the eight.
So that was from January to October, and out of the 848 in the last 2 months, there was 304. So almost half of the total happened in the last 2 months of this data. Now, what's interesting there is they're saying that out of the 848, there were 500. And there was 500, over 500 that were attributed to COVID. Okay, well, hold on. 95% of the people in Nova Scotia, 90% of the people at least, have two shots. 40 to 50% have boosters. So in the year 2022, you're saying there were 848 excess deaths, 540 some of which were COVID, with a population that's 90% double shot or boosted? So
figure that one out, Billy.
And the first year in 2020, when COVID-19 came out, it was the most dangerous variation of it. and no one had any vaccines, we had 105 less deaths than expected. Interesting.
The same numbers you can get those same numbers. You look at every country in the world that's been involved with these jibby jab programs, Billy, and you'll see the exact, not the exact same number, but you'll see similar numbers. You'll see a major increase in excess deaths in one calendar year when the effects of these vaccines really started to get into society. But the problem with that is this is just a tip of the iceberg, Billy. We're going to see a major increase in deaths, I believe, in the next couple of years. I believe it's going to get to a point where society can no longer ignore it.
I think
that might be what it's going to take. But
I think it's already there now.
That I see coming. Not quite, but it's getting there.
Yeah, I suppose.
I think it's going to get to a point, Billy, where even the most sound asleep people in our society that still believe that the government couldn't be working against them, that everything's fine. Sure, there's a little bit of corruption here and there, but that's just normal. These vaccines, they keep telling us they're safe and effective. You can turn on the radio in Terrace here tomorrow morning, and the local radio station in a 4-hour period will have 5 or 6 ads promoting the vaccine for your children. The rhetoric I hear out of this station is just unbelievable. They won't talk to anybody about it. The amount of money they're getting from the government to promote this, somebody someday is going to pay for that, Billy. But every hour they've got an ad on there. Go get your child vaccinated. The most important thing you can do, the weakest sector of our society, the most vulnerable, be a good parent, get your child vaccinated. And people are still buying this crap. How they're getting away with that right now, with the information that's out there right now, you can go to the VAERS site in the state, which is it's a government site, and their numbers will knock you right off your feet. If you look at the Pfizer data drop that they were forced to release to the public, that will knock you right off your feet. There's so much out there now that for them to still be promoting these ads every day, I say, you people over at CFNR, there's a special place in hell waiting for you. Go ahead, Billy.
They're probably in a tough spot, Barry, because they're probably being threatened with all their advertising revenue because of the agency that probably provides for the government. It's a tough spot to be in as a radio station manager.
I say to hell with that. There's enough information out there, Billy. There's no excuse. There's no excuse for anybody at this point to not – they're a radio station. They have access to information all over the world. All you have to do is go look and tell yourself that you still want to promote this for your children. These people are going to pay for it. There's no excuse for it.
I pulled the advertisements for vaccines for children, but you can't pull all of them because if you pull all of them, you don't just lose your government advertising. You lose – Canadian Tire, you lose Kentucky Fried Chicken, you lose all of them. And then basically your radio station folds. And unfortunately, they have that much power over radio stations right now, and it's a crime is what it is. And, I mean, I can only imagine there are other people in my boots that are suffering from some sort of depression or anxiety because of the situation they've been put in by the CRTC and by the advertising agencies that force these contracts on you. And like I say, if you refuse one, they take away all of them. So, and that's what sucks. And I know it might not be an excuse, but some of these radio stations might be dealing with 20 employees that they all have to lay off, that all have to be laid off because you refuse a contract. That's the bind that they're putting radio stations in and television stations in. What I don't agree with is these radio stations, you want to run the ad? Fine. But have that one hour talk show that talks about the adverse effects. I'll do that on my radio station. I've had local doctors try to get me fired for it. So my attitude's always been, if I'm going to play the advertisements as manager of the station, if I'm going to be forced to play those advertisements advertising for vaccines, well, at 10 to 9 in the morning when I'm allowed to give my opinion, I'm going to give the other side of the story and let the chips fall where they may so that at least my listeners can say, Billy gave us the other side of the story. And that's where I fell on it. Now, if the radio station that you're listening to doesn't do that either, well, then they're doubly in fault because it's one thing to not want to lay off your employees, but it's a whole other thing to withhold the truth or even deny anyone the opportunity to go there and debate it. And in my case, it was me exposing the adverse effects and local doctors refusing coming to interview me, or coming to be interviewed, I should say. So, I mean, I even had people complain to the CRTC that I was spreading misinformation, and all I did was provide them with facts. You know, Dr. Robert Malone is indeed the co-inventor of the mRNA vaccine. I'm sorry, he is. That's a fact. I didn't lie when I said that. Dr. Malone advised that we don't take this. That's a fact. Just because CDC didn't allow
it. He came out and made a statement, Billy, that this should never, and this is right from his lips, folks, that this should never be used on human beings.
Right. No, but that's exactly it. And that's what he took a very hard line on it. And then there was Dr. Vernon Coleman from the UK, Peter McCullough. I had conversations on the phone with Chris Milburn, the guy that got canned as the head of emergency services. And I talked about all that on the radio station. But because I run such a small radio station in such a small market, people that listen to CBC and CTV thought I was full of crap because they're hearing opposite on these big media outlets. Well, I haven't been taken off the air, even though some people have tried. But I'll tell you, it's been a rough 3 years to be in my boots. Like, there have been times where I wanted to quit my job. And, you know, like, there have been times where I wanted to bury my head in the sand. There have been times where I just didn't know what to do with myself. You know, and we're coming out the other end now where a lot of this truth is being exposed. I mean, when I told one of my county councilors, municipal councilors last week, when I told him about this National Citizens Inquiry, he was shocked. I mean, nobody's being told anything. Municipalities aren't exercising the power that they have. Municipalities have the power to change everything if they wanted to, because that's where local governance could start. Municipalities, if they really wanted to, if they really, really wanted to get serious about governance, we could run our little towns the way we want to and flip a finger to the province and to the federal government. In a sense.
Well, we've talked about that lots of times, Billy, taking back the power at the municipal level. That's what it would take right now to turn this around. Because any globalist agenda being put forward by the council, because all councils will, they're all members of the councils of their province, British Columbia. They're a member of the councils of mayors for British Columbia. They're just mandating the NDP's political agenda at the municipal level.
Right. So
if we elect people in that councils that are pro-conservative people, are going to say no to these agendas, we put a stop to it all. And that ripple effect is really what we need right now.
Well, what I find even better about the councillors we have here, we've only got 5 councillors for our county. So we're called Richmond County. We might have a population of 10,000 people. We've got 5 councillors, and one of those councillors is what's called a warden. So we don't have a mayor. We have a warden. And that warden is elected by the other councillors within council chambers. Now, what happens is you'll have... We have three of the council members that aren't really political when it comes to the traditional political sense, like Liberal, NDP, Conservative. They don't really care. They're there for the people, and it's clear that they're there for the people. I classify them more as independent, or you know, talking to them, that they're more what's that called? Libertarian. You know, they believe in more. And less government and more freedom for the people to do things. Like, some of them will oppose you know, like that act that they're trying to pass where they're protecting shoreline. And if you live within 100 meters of the shore, you're not going to be allowed to do any renovations on your house without permits and stuff like this. And they're like, well, that's half our population. Like, over our dead body, you're doing that. So they'll oppose things that both sides of government are trying to pass. So what I'm hoping to do is make them aware of this National Citizens Inquiry and get them to follow suit with Niagara Falls and start awakening other municipalities in Nova Scotia. The problem is that they don't realize just how much power they have and how much influence they have. Because if a municipality with their warden representing 10,000 people were to send open letters to the provincial government and the federal government demanding inquiries into this, demanding legal action, demanding, you know, like demanding that, okay, you're going to tell us exactly what you based your scientific proof on to do this to us. You know, like, we have constituents that lost their jobs. We have constituents that have been depressed. We've got constituents that committed suicide. So fess up here and tell us what actually went on here with this COVID-19 response. Because what they're showing at this National Citizens Inquiry, they're showing, A, that COVID-19 was not as dangerous as they pretended it was. Because when they were first saying that the vaccine was 95% effective, what they were saying there, they showed the difference between the percentage of effectiveness, when in reality it was only 0.08% effective, because even non-vaccinated people had a 99% chance of not getting it. So it was only amongst the people that got it. So they compared the number of people that got it that were vaccinated, the number of people that got it that were unvaccinated, and did the math with those numbers instead of the overall numbers. And it just shows to what point they can manipulate statistics and manipulate. And it shows also how lazy our media has become. I've probably done more on air to uncover the truth on this in my butt F nowhere radio station. You know, like, I run the place. It's me and two part-time employees. You know, like, so how can I get my hands on this information and get the truth out? But CBC, with the $1.5 billion of government money that they're given every year, well, our money, taxpayer money, they can't. Like, it's just, where do you, like, who gets held accountable when all this comes out? And I say they should all be held accountable. The politicians, the media outlets, the CEO of CBC, I've contacted, like, the association that we're a part of. I contacted the people that supply us with the news, with newscasts, and I told them, this is in written. I've got it in written. Like, you guys are feeding us half truths in your news. Like, you guys are calling Jeremy McKenzie a terrorist in your newscast. Like, you don't know that. Where are you getting your news from? CBC? And that's the problem, right? Is everyone that's involved in little community radio stations, they're all aspiring to go work for CBC someday and have that $150,000 salary and the cushy expense account. And journalists are doing journalism for the wrong reason. And it's a sad state of affairs, Barry. And I just don't know. There's so much to fix. Where do you start, and who fixes it, and who allows us to fix it?
It's a big mountain right now, Billy. It sure is, because it's taken them years to get all these tentacles into our society, where they're controlling just about every aspect of the judicial system in Canada. The RCMP are corrupt to the core. Everybody seems to be corrupt. They're all in on the bandwagon. They all think, you know, they all think they got a ticket to the big party, but they don't. That's the thing, is we could just make them understand that, you know, you're committing treason against your own people because you think you're on the right side of history, but you're on the wrong side, and you don't have a ticket to the big party. There's only very few people in the world that have that ticket. The rest of us, no matter what you're doing, if you're engaging in destroying this country and fighting against your fellow Canadian, then you are just one rung up the ladder from me and Billy, that your time is going to come just a little bit after our time. And people could understand that they're being played like a fiddle to fight us and to be working against us, CBC and all these reporters. They might wake up, Billy. But what I see right now, I don't know. I don't have those answers right now.
Well, and you know what we haven't really touched on today, like, we haven't really mentioned at all, was the Rouleau report that we might have talked about that the last time, where Rouleau basically gave the stamp of approval to Trudeau, you know, the Emergencies Act. And you were talking about how, you know, we're talking about how it's always people within the system that get appointed to verify. And you found out, have you heard who was appointed as the special rapporteur for the Chinese?
Oh, Mr. Johnson. Justin Trudeau's best friend.
Right.
The guy that's involved with the Trudeau Foundation. That guy?
Yeah.
No bipartisan. No, it's totally independent, Billy. Come on.
There's a
44 times on TV. He said it was going to be independent. He's not lying to us, is he?
There's a way to end your show today, Barry, is on that one, right? Because, I mean, you can't make this up. Like, it's like we're watching a sitcom.
No, you can't.
It's like we're watching a sitcom, and it's like, how much can I piss the Canadian people off today without them really expressing their anger? Like, when I heard that, I was like, really? Like, the former lieutenant governor, he was appointed by Trudeau, wasn't he? Wasn't he governor general when Trudeau was prime minister? When was he?
So.
Yeah,
his
from
tied to the Liberal Party go back to when he was 8 years old, buddy.
Yeah, from 2010 to 2017.
This is the independent guy that's going to look into Chinese meddling in our election. Wow, you know how that's going to end up, Billy. Just like the election, just like the Emergency Act inquiry, the same bullshit's going to come out. Trudeau, if Trudeau's allowed to investigate himself, he will always be innocent. But the fact that this is going on in our country, you're right. It's like a sitcom. It's like a comedy. How can people sit back and just watch this when we know it's a joke, but it's not a joke.
It's a
good comedy for sure.
And then there's something else that happened on, I watch Redacted a lot with Clayton and Natalie Morris.
So do I. Yeah, I
and
like those
did you see the show they did when they were questioning whether the COVID-19 actually came out of a Wuhan lab or maybe it was for Dietrich?
I saw that show.
Okay, well, one thing
that need to be answered.
Well, yeah, but one thing that they completely missed, and I felt like writing to them, I was like, I wonder how I could write to these people, because right around the same time as the Fort Dietrich stuff was happening, that was around the exact same time that two Chinese scientists were being escorted out of the Winnipeg Virology Lab, and they lost their jobs for something that we weren't told, but they admitted that prior to whatever they did to lose their jobs this time, they had already received like a slap on the hand because they had taken Ebola out of the lab without telling anyone. So after they came out of the lab in Winnipeg with Ebola, they managed to keep their jobs. But then they did something that we're not allowed to know that got them escorted out of the laboratory in the Winnipeg Virology Lab. And I've been saying it for a while that I know people here that were really sick between December of 2019 and January of 2020 before there was the big outbreak. And I'm starting to wonder if it wasn't the Winnipeg lab that got this out. And all it would take would be one flight from Winnipeg to Toronto, and then from Toronto all over the country, and boom. Because after they announced that it escaped China, all of a sudden it was all over Canada. So it went from China to Canada pretty quick. Anyway, that's just
it sure did.
That's just like a side note, because when you think about all this stuff, I wonder just how complicit Canada is in all these quote-unquote conspiracies. Because on 9/11, we were doing some funky stuff at our airports.
I know we were. I looked into that, Billy. There's so many things we could talk about. You know what?
Our uranium.
Hour is about up, buddy. We got about 1 minute left here.
I know, Billy.
And I'm gonna get you the last 10 seconds to say something. Then my jingle's gonna come in. I gotta get you back in here real quick, Billy. We gotta continue this conversation.
Well, yeah.
But thanks for coming in today.
Thanks very much.
You got about 10 seconds.
I'm sorry if I was all over the place. I just have a whole lot to say, and I'm not on social media as active as I'd like to be. I'm very active on Facebook, but keep listening to Barry's show. You listen to Barry's show, you're going to get the truth. And I appreciate the invite. I look forward to being here again someday.
I promise you, Billy, we're going to get Dan real soon, my friend. Thanks for coming today. Okay, folks, that's the show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be back on Wednesday. I've got Vinny Easton coming in from New Zealand. It's always a blast. See you on Wednesday.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
We will not comply with the institution's sick illusion. No, it won't.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton.
Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's The Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio.